Please note, Naaman was captain of the king's army and not the king himself. Please disregard all references to Naaman being king, but the points being made about his pride are appropriate.
Thank you for the good songs and the scriptures we read this morning. You know, as we looked at the Lord's Supper and considered the song that we sang it before, it reminds us that Jesus was a human being. And that's one part of Christ that it's important for us to remember, is he did suffer. Sometimes we picture him as God, and that's appropriate, and we've talked about those some too, but the fact that he was human, and he had human emotions, and that's borne out in the song we sang, and in the comments as well. So those are both great and wonderful, and it's good to be together again today. Today I want to take a look at something, just as the deity of Jesus, the man of Jesus, I have trouble explaining how he was both, but he was. I believe, and the scripture shows that. But in the religious world, there's another topic that's also met with much with different ideas behind it, and that is the grace of God. What about the grace of God? Are there conditions for it? The scripture tells us that grace is a free gift. Grace is a free gift. But what I want to take our time today, and a lot of people focus on that free part about it. What I want to take the time today to look at is an example in the Old Testament. If you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Kings, you'll be turning there with us. We'll be reading that. 2 Kings chapter 5. What I want to look at are conditions that are associated with the grace of God and how we reconcile the idea of grace being a free gift, and yet there's still conditions applied to it. And so first I want to look at establishing the idea that grace is conditional. That grace is conditional. And as I mentioned, we're going to look at an Old Testament example of this. And the character is Naaman. The character is Naaman. So if you're there in 2 Kings chapter 5, and we'll read verses 1 through 13. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 through 13, and that'll set the context for our discussions this morning. So verse 1, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out by companies, had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maiden. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that was in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.'" So God could recover Naaman of his leprosy, is what this little maiden is saying. "If he was in my land, my homeland, the prophet that is in Samaria, he would recover him of his leprosy." Verse 4, "And one went in and told his lord," and said, he went told Naaman, "saying, 'Thus and thus, and the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' And he departed and took him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou may recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man descend unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me.'" So the king of Israel, thought, "Hey, he's sent us. Naaman's coming. He's picking a fight with me," but it obviously was not the case. So we'll continue on verse 8. "And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent your clothes? Let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall become as again unto thee, as thou shalt be clean, or and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was angry and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not I practice these. I'm stumbling on them. Abana and Pharpar. Rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away angry," or King James says, "in a rage. in verse 13, his servants came near and said unto him, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then when he hath said to thee, Wash and be clean. In this story, we see God's grace being offered to Naaman. As we look at it and see the storyline here, we're going to notice some various things. And as we introduce the lesson, there are some various ideas about God's grace and conditions being applied to it. It's often referred to, rightly so, it is a free gift. Well, how do we reconcile these things and being conditions for God's grace? We're going to show this as an example of conditions to access God's grace and see how that applies and what God is concerned with man about. Remember about our definitions about grace. It's receiving what we do not deserve. And we've kind of had some lessons, I think, kind of help build up to this point and understanding what grace is. Justice is, and I use the example of getting a speeding, if you get pulled over for speeding. Justice is you getting a speeding ticket for speeding. That's justice. Mercy is if the officer decides not to give you a speeding ticket. That's mercy. Grace is not only does he not give you a ticket, but he gives you a gift. Okay, that is the idea behind grace. It's giving something we don't deserve is the definition of what grace is. And so with that in mind, let's go and talk and look at Naaman here. And Naaman, in his case, wanted the grace of God. He wanted what he did not deserve. He did not deserve to have his leprosy removed. But by God's grace, it's been offered to him. But Naaman wanted grace. He wanted God's grace on his terms. And notice his terms, because if we look at the lesson here, this is really going to parallel what Paul warned the Ephesians about. And that's how I want to make the analogy towards the end of the lesson, how God has grace on his terms, not on our terms. So we see here, Naaman wanted grace on his terms. So first of all, he brought gifts. So of all things, he's coming and bringing gifts. Well, guess what? If I pay you for something that you do, if I pay for a service, I might could claim I deserve that service. I've given a gift. I've paid for that service, therefore I deserve it. Naaman brought gifts, thinking this could be purchased or whatnot. And it ends up being a big part of this lesson as well, but we're not going to get into what happens with the gifts after our readings. There's some things that happen. We're not going to get into that. But he possibly saw this as he needs to bring something to compensate the prophet and God for doing this. And that was not the case. That was not something. God does not want people to be left in their mind that they've done something to earn or merit the gifts that he gives, the grace he gives. So he brought gifts. And reality is, he brought what already belonged to God, didn't he? There's nothing on this earth that belongs to us. We're only sharing with God what he's blessed us with. So he even brought what was already God's to begin with. I think that was an interesting point to think of there. He wanted, and he was looking for pomp and show. He is king of Syria. He is king. I am somebody important. He's looking for something great. And so he wants the prophet to come specifically to see him. He wants the prophet to come out and greet him at the door. And of all things, just think if we was at home. And say, the president come, knocked on our door. We sent our servants to go see him and answer for him, or our kids. What if the governor of the state come to our door? We would show honor to them, right, by going and greeting them personally. Well, that's what Naaman expected. He got the prophet's messenger. He wanted to see him personally. He wanted to do some great thing. He'll call on God. Place your hand on it. Do something great that I can be healed. I'm king. But that was not grace on God's terms. That was not grace on God's terms. He was looking for the pomp and show. And so we see, as we made point of, the messenger came out to greet him when he came to Elisha's door. It wasn't Elisha himself. It was his messenger. We see that the gift was rejected. Elisha didn't want no part of that. That was not part of the deal. He was instructed, instead of something great, instead of laying hands on him and some great show, you go wash. And not just go wash. Go wash in the muddy Jordan River. Because note what he said about the rivers in Damascus. Are they not clean there? He wanted grace on his terms. He wanted this great show. He wanted to give this gift. He wanted to do, and then when he's told about going to Washington, he says he was angry. He says he went away in a rage, it says.
So think, as we've kind of prepped it here, Naaman was king. And of all things,
could be seen as an adversary even to Israel. In this case, if you think about it, back up in verse 1, or verse 2, that Syria had gone out by companies and brought away captives out of the land of Israel. So he has taken captives. He's in some way conquered Israel. He's over Israel. He's exercised dominion over Israel. And here he is coming back. He's king. Look at me. So he was proud. He was looking for the grace of God on his terms. On his terms. He wanted them his way. He wanted them his way. But we find out that God's grace was given to Naaman, but it was not given. And think about this in today's world as we talk about New Testament religion, New Testament Christianity, as we talk about what it takes to receive the grace of God today. Was Naaman healed when he sought out God? When he heard that he could be healed in the land of Israel, he left home with his chariot and his money. Was he healed when he went and left? No. No, he wasn't healed then. Was he healed when Elijah arrived at Elisha's door? I mean, after all, he's shown faith now. He's shown a belief in God at some level. He has some trust in God and some belief. He wasn't healed of leprosy when it arrived. So we're looking, and what we're contemplating here is the conditions God put on his grace. And it wasn't not just that he sought God out. It just wasn't that he went to God's messenger. It wasn't that he brought his gifts. It was not that he even conceded the conditions. You notice when the servant at the end said in verse 13, his servant came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then? Well, when he said thee, wash and be clean." And then in verse 14, which I did not read, he went down and dipped himself. So he even goes down to the river. Was he cleansed when he went down to the river? No. You see him walking through this. On what condition did Naaman receive God's grace? How about after dip the first time? I mean, he showed faith now. He has faith in God. He dips that first time. He comes up out of the water. Is he cleansed? No. He dips a sixth time. And he's almost there. He's almost there. He's not met the conditions for God's grace. He's even now accepted God's terms. He had his own terms, so he set them aside. He was angry, but now he set them aside. He's conceded, "God, I'm going to do what you said do." He's dipped six times now. Is he healed? And I didn't read that verse, so let me go back and read verse 14. "Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh became likened to as the flesh of a child, and he was clean." On the seventh time, after he met God's conditions for grace, man was healed. He was healed of his leprosy. And that's how Scripture says. That is, to me, a perfect example of God's grace being applied. Giving something to the king of Syria that he did not deserve. Healing of his leprosy is given to him when Naaman met God's conditions to receive his grace. Because we see, and I think the point of the lesson that I'm making here is God gives his grace on his terms. And this is where I want to go to Ephesians. And this is where, in the religious world today, things get all crossways. Because Ephesians, and we'll read this, we're going to take a look at this. This is the best answer to the objections that are raised about salvation. How is it that we receive the grace of God? Sorry, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. If you'll turn over to that passage, we're going to look at that passage now. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 7. Paul talks about the grace of God. He talks about the conditions of the grace of God a little bit. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 7. "In the ages to come," they're talking about Jesus, "he might show exceeding the riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ." I'm sorry, God is going to show the riches of his grace. Verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. One of the favorite passages in the religious world today, and I believe based on our lesson today, is misused. But by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Those phrases there are so often used in reference about the salvation God has offered mankind. But what I propose to you is the example of Naaman shows perfectly what this statement Paul makes means. That there are conditions to God's grace. We get grace on his terms. By grace we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. Naaman wanted to give money. Naaman wanted to wash it in his rivers. Naaman wanted to see the prophet himself. Naaman wanted some great show. God doesn't offer salvation on those terms. It's not of ourselves. There's nothing of what we do. There's nothing of a gift that Naaman could have offered. There's nothing. If he could have done something to heal his leprosy, he would have done it. He didn't have a way. The only man, only way that would be healed is through God's grace. And God healed Naaman. So it says it's not of ourselves. It is not of works. It's not that we merit what we do. If Naaman had given the prophet, Elisha, the money, he might could say, I compensated the prophet for that. Therefore, I'm owed that in response. He could make that statement. It's not of anything we do. It is a gift of God, but it's on his terms. It's based on his condition, being God's conditions. Why? Lest any man could boast. Was there any man in our example of the same king going to boast? Absolutely. King of Syria, Naaman, would boast about his healing if he took part in it. There was nothing that he should boast of. And God made sure that Naaman could not boast that he had done anything. God made sure Naaman knew that his salvation, his cleansing came because of God's grace, not of something Naaman did, lest he could boast. And so not for a Naaman. Not for Naaman. So a man like Naaman cannot boast of these things is what the point. I got a typo there. Sorry about that. So let's talk about the conditions to receive the grace of God. The conditions to receive the goodwill of God. The salvation is based on the grace of God. Salvation is something we do not merit. It is nothing we can boast of. God has established his conditions for his grace that he offers in salvation. And those conditions we'll take a moment to look at. And this is where the religious world today, I feel like, gets tripped up because this passage in Ephesians. There were conditions for Naaman to be healed. Let's look at the condition God offers for being disciples and for salvation. Matthew chapter 28, starting verse 19. Let's look at the conditions to grace that God offers to us. So put us in Naaman's shoes as we contemplate salvation and that gift from God. So Matthew chapter 28, Jesus commanding here. Keep in mind, this is Jesus' command. Matthew writes, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." So we see in Matthew, he says, baptize, making disciples. That's Jesus' exact words. Baptize, making disciples. The end of Mark, as he also gives instructions, Mark gives a parallel account of the passage in the message. Add some more details to it. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall not." Held that button down. Hit the wrong one. "He that believes and is baptized is saved." Conditions to grace. Now there is just making a condition for discipleship. Baptized, making disciples. Here, believe and baptized. What do you get? Salvation. What about Luke chapter? And this ties into our lesson last week, as you see how some of these lessons are tying together for me here. Luke 24, verse 47. Tying in together salvation, Jesus speaking again, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. We spent a lot of time last week talking about that. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached. And what do we find Luke recording in the very first gospel sermon? Peter says in Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you,
in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Luke said it's supposed to be preached, and then we find he says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. And then we get Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and we find Peter preaching repentance and baptism for remission of sins. So again, belief, repentance, baptism, remission of sins. The conditions God has established for His grace to be received and salvation. And again, in Acts 22, it's kind of this, at this point, this was redundant. But talking about Saul of Tarsus, another example of salvation coming to New Testament. This was a Jew. This was Saul of Tarsus. Ananias, it says, arise. First of all, we know it implied from the passage that Paul already believed. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. What's the conditions for God's grace of salvation? Baptism, belief, repentance. All these are conditions of God's grace. None of these are meritorious. We can't stand back and say, look, there's something in this water. I've cleansed myself. Salvation is not of me. Salvation is that gift of God that He offers. Conditional. God's salvation is offered on a conditional basis. If we obey His commands, just like Naaman. Naaman wasn't healed when he believed. He didn't just believe. He believed, at least at some level, when he left Syria. He believed when he went down to the Jordan River. When was he healed of his leprosy? He was healed after he dipped. And we see a parallel between baptism there also, and that's what makes this analogy nice as well. And when he dipped the seventh time, when he fulfilled the command given him, he was healed, and he was healed on God's terms. The same here. We are cleansed of our sins. Our sins are washed away. We've received remission of our sins upon obedience to the act of baptism. So we see parallels to the New Testament cleansing that we talk about in baptism. Their messengers are sent to give instructions. Jesus doesn't talk to us directly. He works through messengers. His apostles went out everywhere teaching and preaching. Even this day, we are the evangelists in the world to teach. Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit don't go out and operate upon individual people. He uses man to go out and spread the word and to help teach others, just like he did in the Bible times. So a messenger was sent. God does not do this directly himself. Obedience to the instructions are required. Whatever those conditions are, obedience is required. They must be fulfilled before it happens. Just as in Naaman's case, it wasn't until that seventh time that he did that he was cleansed. And then in parallel in dipping and immersion in water, then you are cleansed. We see parallels to the New Testament cleansing or baptism related to the name there. And there's nothing in the water. It's not the water. It's the act of God. There's nothing that cleansed Naaman in that Jordan, that muddy Jordan River. There's nothing in that that washed that leprosy off. There's nothing that killed that leprosy off. It was the grace of God acting as it is in our life. We obey the gospel. He cleanses us. He is faithful. He's promised us He will cleanse us. He is faithful to cleanse us when we obey the command. It is the grace of God. So I want to leave you with Naaman's servant's invitation. There in 1 Kings, or 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13, or 5, verse 13. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 13. Servant said unto Naaman, If the prophet had bid thee some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather than when he said unto you, wash and be clean? Jesus and his disciples recorded and told us exactly what it takes for cleansing. That's baptism. It's not just baptism. It's belief in Jesus. It's confessing of his name. It's repenting from our dead works to live a new life of righteousness. And work towards him and for him and towards growth in the kingdom. If he done something, had us do something great, would we not have done it? And we probably would say yes, no matter what he instructed us to do, we would do it. Naaman's servant said, wouldn't you have done it? And the response, the rhetorical question, of course he would have. So why don't we obey in baptism? You know, in that day, the gospel writer Luke records for us, there was no man in the time of Naaman that was healed of leprosy, except Naaman. He was the only one. An enemy of Israel, a person who had gone in and conquered and taken slaves out of the land, God offered him his grace. Why? Because he earned it? No. Because he deserved it? No. But he gave him his grace, and he was healed because he believed and obeyed. Because we know if we believe and believe by itself, and if we confess and confess by itself, we still not met the conditions that the apostles laid out. Those conditions are not met. Would you be baptized this day and have your sins washed away like the apostles instructed, like Jesus instructed? That's what the instructions are, to have access to God's grace. Naaman went away angry. That's not good enough for me. Well, that's because God don't want us to boast in our salvation. He don't want us to boast of the man who done it. He don't want us to boast of the water we did it in. He don't want us to boast of the building we do it in. In the muddy pool, the snake river, the swimming pool at Super 8, or the empty jacuzzi. Water is water. The salvation, grace comes from God. So if you wish to be baptized and have your sins washed away, we encourage you to come and make that confession of Christ this morning. If you've stumbled along the way and need the prayers of the saints in any way, we offer you an invitation as well to make that known. Won't you come as we stand and sing together?